Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory, for you are amazing. And we thank you, Lord, on this first Sunday of Epiphany, that you indeed give us light and revelation. And the revelation that you make plain to us is who we are in Christ Jesus. That we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is who we are. That is our identity. That is how we walk this life. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lord, impress upon our hearts this day, impress upon our minds, impress upon our lives what this means, so that we would not be deceived, but we would walk in boldness, confessing the truth of who we are because of who you are. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Epiphany. Epiphany is on January 6th, and it ends for us, what? It ends for us the 12 days of Christmas. Some of you were probably wondering when you came last week and Brian was here preaching and he was talking about Christmas stuff, you're probably thinking, well, let's see, we went through Christmas and we're into the new year. What is this Christmas stuff? Why are we still in Christmas? And that's because it was only the 4th. And it wasn't until Tuesday, the 6th, right, that we celebrated Epiphany. And it's always amazing to me because we are so fortunate to be on this side of the earth. We're fortunate to be in the north because we get to experience what the early church experienced, especially the Roman church, because it's no mistake that Epiphany happens as the light starts to, as the days start to get longer, and there's more light out there. If we really wanted to understand what Epiphany means, we would look outside and realize as we're looking at our clocks and noticing that the days are getting longer, right? Isn't that nice? Yes, it is very nice. And we're very thankful. And so as we get into the Epiphany season, which means revelation or light, it's no mistake that today we had for our Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, where it talks about the light. Jesus is the light. And it talked about how the first day God created light. Even science confirms that, right? Light. You have to have light to have life. You can't have life without light. It's important. It's essential. And so it's no mistake that we celebrate that. And we also celebrate always on the first Sunday of Epiphany on around Carol's birthday, right? Got to remember, it's Carol's birthday, and that means that we're going to be celebrating the baptism of our Lord Sunday, the first Sunday in Epiphany. And it's always the first Sunday in Epiphany because the two times where we see God literally ripping heaven apart, it says, ripping the sky apart and speaking into the world in the New Testament are two things which are bookends during the Epiphany season. The first time is what we heard in the gospel lesson when John baptizes Jesus. God speaks as Jesus comes up out of the water. What does he say? This is my son, depending on the translation, my beloved son, or this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Now, that's really important because that means that God reveals, that's what Epiphany is, right? He reveals to us the most important truth about who Jesus is. Do you think that anybody there missed it? I mean, they had all the things that you need, right? They had the dove coming down. They had Jesus coming up out of the water, and they had the voice of God speaking. This is so important because at the end of Epiphany, what are we going to celebrate? Remember what happens before we get into Ash Wednesday and Lent? Transfiguration. Again, what happens in Transfiguration? What happens when Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus onto the Mount of Transfiguration and he is transfigured before them and this white cloud envelops them? What happens in that cloud? God speaks, and what does he say? This is my beloved son, and this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And then he adds something, right? That's always good because we want you to remember that as you're going into Lent. What does he add? Listen to him. You see, Epiphany is all about God revealing. As the days get longer, as the light gets enhanced, we get to experience what God is saying to us. And it's no mistake that today, on the baptism of our Lord Sunday, the church has given us that wonderful passage from Romans chapter 6, where we are to recognize that we are literally immersed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. That we are literally immersed in his death, meaning we've died with him. That's what Paul says, right? We've died with him so that we will be what? Resurrected with him. Isn't that awesome? That means that when we walk our life together with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his sovereignty, his love, his presence in our life, when we walk with him, he goes through everything that we go through. He's gone through everything that we've gone through without sinning, and he can be there for us no matter what. Amen? Isn't that awesome? We literally are immersed in him. We literally belong to him so much that we not only die with him, but we rise with him. And that's why that verse at the end of that section in chapter 6 there is so important. Can you put that up for me, Johannes, please? The last few verses of Romans 6. There we go. Because when we know who we are and when we know our identity, you know, we talk about covenant here all the time. You know, covenant and kingdom. You hear me talking about that all the time. If you're listening, that's why we talk about what it means to belong. That's why we say belong, believe, become. You have to start with belonging. And belonging comes from our covenant that God has made with us in our baptism, where he says, you are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Unfortunately, he doesn't say to everybody, listen to him. Because that would help if he said that about me. Don't you think? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody listened to us? Too bad. But he does say, you are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And he says to us, we are literally immersed in God. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Isn't that awesome? Does death have dominion over us? Should we fear death? No. That belongs, that's for us just as much as it was for him. Because of Jesus, because we are immersed in him, because we belong to him, because we are his child, because we know him as our Lord and Savior, because he is literally in us, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, he literally lives in us, we can walk with him, we can be journeying with him each and every day. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. If we could just get rid of the fear that so entangles us, right? Isn't it amazing? And where does fear come from? Pardon me? The devil? But also our flesh, right? That's why it's no mistake that when St. Paul talks about dominions, he's talking about Satan, he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about the fact that we, as human beings, struggle with things causes us to fear, right? Because no matter how much we want to be in control of our lives, do we have a whole lot of control over our lives? Who has control over their life here? Oh boy. You're brutally honest. That's great. We really don't have a whole lot of control over our lives. I experienced this, you know. We left here, we were 3.5 hours late. Bethany and I were flying to Calgary, Alberta last week, and we left, and we were 3.5 hours late leaving here, so that meant we missed our flight in Houston, which we had to stay at a hotel overnight and then get on the plane, and then they didn't recognize we were on the plane, so they didn't get our luggage on the plane, so then we ended up in Calgary, and we had to wait for 2 days because it was over New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and so on and so forth. And then, you know, you realize when you're sitting there and you have no control over your life, how little control you really do have. I was like, thank you, Lord. I didn't need this lesson, but I'm sure there's something in it. I kept telling myself that. You know, I'm sure there's something in it because we are really have very little control over our lives. We might think we do, but we really don't. And that's why it's so important, because he goes on to say, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it means that when we recognize that we don't have any control, it's simply a matter of surrender, isn't it? It's really a matter of surrender. It's a matter of surrendering to God and saying, Lord, I know you have what's best in mind for me. I know that my identity is secure. I know that I belong to you, that I'm a child of God, and that you have what's best in mind for me no matter what the circumstance. How many of us have trouble with surrender? Doesn't that cause you a little bit of fear and anxiety? When someone says, you know, I remember this saying in Bible school, you know, it was on all the stuff. Let go, let God. It sounds so noble. Doesn't that sound so noble? Let go, let God. Really? How many of us are really, truly willing to let go as we're talking about white knuckles? You know, we hold on for dear life, don't we? Isn't that human nature? That's why I've watched some people who I know are going to heaven. I know they are going to be in heaven when they die. I know this because they have the faith and they love God and they are amazing people and they are trustworthy and faithful people. And yet at the end, they still want to hold on. Because isn't it natural? They still have family and friends. And even though they know it's going to be better where they're going, it's just like giving birth. It's just like coming from the womb into this world. It's not an easy transition. If any of you ever watched it happen, you've all experienced it. I don't know how much you remember. But really, it's not an easy transition. I just always feel so sorry for the baby. Going from this nice warm place into this loud, light-filled environment. At least that's the way it is in the hospital. I don't know, maybe if you had a baby at home, you could change that. But we're not doing that. Right? Good. God is amazing. And I just hope that, you know, Epiphany is an interesting season because it all depends on when Ash Wednesday shows up, right? How long Epiphany is. It's one of those things that it always adjusts. And this year, because Easter's on April 4th or April 5th, something like that, it's kind of short. But it's always amazing to me because in this season, we are going to celebrate what it means to walk in the light. What it means to be dead to sin, to be dead to those things that bind us, to be dead to the fears of this life, to be dead to the anxiety that keeps us captive, to be dead to all those things that would like to bind us and cause us fear and cause us sleeplessness and cause us worry and cause us anxiety. All those things, we're dead to them. We're dead to them. But we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to say to those things that cause us to fear, we're going to say, get behind me, Satan. Get lost. Don't you have to do that in your life? Don't you? Because they don't just go away on their own. You really do need to cognitively say, get lost. Get out of my life. Because won't they keep trying? Don't those anxieties keep trying to get in? Don't those fears keep trying to get in? It doesn't make us any less alive to God in Christ Jesus when we're dealing with these things, because if we weren't alive, we wouldn't have all the problems we have. Ever thought about that? The reason we have all the problems is that we're alive. And if we're really walking with God, and if we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're immersed in God, and we know who we are, and our identity is secure in God, do you not think that Satan is going to work overtime on us? I'll tell you, the church you don't want to belong to is the one that's not being attacked. Why? Because it's irrelevant. If Satan's not attacking, what does that mean? He's got you where you want. He wants you, and you're not a threat. So when you come here and you realize that we're getting attacked, I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah, a few people, the prayer team especially, they're going, yes, 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 yes. Understand that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're alive to God in Christ Jesus, when you're dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus, when you are living the power and the life in the Spirit, if you are moving forward as kingdom people, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if your identity is secure, if you know and are obedient because of the fact that you are a child of God whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased, and you want to walk with Him, guess what? You are a threat. Think about that for a moment. The next time you're being attacked, think about that for a moment. The next time you're feeling down, think about that for a moment. If you weren't a threat, if you weren't dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, if you weren't a child of the living God, if you weren't a child of God with whom, and a child whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased, do you think that Satan would care what you are doing? Do you think that your sinful nature would be constantly working on you? Do you think that you would be dealing with fear and anxiety and all these other things? The fact that you're a child of God, the fact that God looks at you like He looks at Jesus, because Jesus is in you and He says, you are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. You are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Recognize that that means you're a threat. But you also have the power to say to those things that threaten you, you have the power to say to those things that cause you to fear, the power to say to those things that cause you anxiety, get lost. Get lost. Because I am a child of God. I want you to say those things that God literally ripped heaven open to say. Those words. And we're going to change a little bit because we're not all sons here. I say, you are my child whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Can you say that? Oh boy. No wonder Satan don't leave. I don't think he's convinced. I want you to tell him so he understands that he has no claim on you whatsoever. I want you to let him know, just as God let the people know on that were there at the River Jordan when Jesus came up out of the water, that we belong to God, that we are His children, whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased, and let's let Him know that. Can you say it again? We are children of God, whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased. That's a little better. I want you to think about this. When you say this, when you believe it, when you trust in it, you make Satan tremble. You make the foundations of hell tremble when you tell them this, because they know it's true. Satan knows it's true. Doesn't that make you feel just amazing? Doesn't it? It's amazing. So I want you to say it, knowing that it's amazing and that it's true and that it has power and that it can change lives and your life especially. And this time we're going to do it as individuals. We're going to say, I am a child of God whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased. Can we say that? I am a child of God whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased. Try it again. I am a child of God whom He loves, with whom He is well pleased. Amen. I love it. Never forget. never, ever forget that you died to sin and are alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. Amen.